Great to see you this morning. Yeah, I had a good time in the first service, and so glad you're here for service two on a great, beautiful day. So we are in Ephesians chapter 4. As we're working through Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, living like we believe it. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to go backwards one verse and pick up, do some double duty with verse 13, look at verses 13 through 16 this morning. Ephesians 4, verses 13 through 16. Now, I don't know if you've ever had the privilege, I guess it's a privilege, to see a chicken with its head cut off, but it is a reality. And like none other, when I was in sixth grade, my stepbrother and I, we were really wanting to be big farmhands and all that, but we lived in the city, so his big flock was about 10 chickens, and my big, you know, livestock was about 6 rabbits. We were pretty tough farmers, or at least thought we were. And so inevitably we had that day that we were going to eat one of the chickens, and it is, you know, when you see it once, you get why we say running around like a chicken with his head cut off, because it is something else to watch the body of that chicken run around for 10 seconds or so without its head. If you haven't had that, see if your parents will Google it. Don't just go find your neighbor's chicken to see how that goes. Humorously enough, the picture is the same for what we see here today in today's passage about Christ and his church. Christ, obviously, as we'll see and as you know, is the head, and we are the body. And the two work together the way that the Lord wanted them to. And it's a rich passage today as we continue to look at this chapter 4, especially turning from the first three chapters, these truths, these doctrines of what it means to come to know Christ. And now as Paul has shifted to the church, and then even next week looking more at how we live as individuals in the church. But fascinating here. So read with me in verse 13 through 16. He says, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness, in deceit, scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So let's put this into context. Back in verse 1, we're reminded that as believers in Christ, that we are to live like we believe it, that we are to walk in a way worthy of the calling by which we've been called. First few verses talking about the universality, the oneness of the body of Christ, those who know Christ as their Savior. Then he began to talk about inside of that, the uniqueness of the gifting that God has given us. Then he went on to mention that there are pastors given, player coaches who are to help to equip the body, equip for the work of service, so that, and then we looked at verse 13 last week, looking at it again this week, so that we are all, not some, but all attaining to some things. So again, one of the things that you may need to hear today is that you are important, because there are folks in a room this size, there are folks online who would begin to think, all I do as a member of this church is hold this chair down. You know, I believe, I'm a member, I tithe, but that's kind of it for me. And so I need you to know that that is not true, that you, every single one who has been placed in this local body as a believer in Christ, you are very, very important. And not because we want you to feel good, but because it's true, we do want you to feel good, but because it's true, we need you, like you need me and we need each other. So looking at this, he says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, that it's important for you to be in the Word of God every day, in your quiet time, your devotional life, whatever you call it, for you to be learning who is God, what does it mean to be saved, what does it look like to follow after this God, in the Old Testament, learning about his might and his power and those amazing miracles, and then a different kind of miracles sometimes in the New Testament, but the same God working the same way he did with Abraham as he did with Timothy and all the way through, and he's still working today. So for you to be understanding that, then for you to be in groups with believers, whether it's something that you set up casually, maybe a brother or sister that you meet with, in life groups. I encourage you to be in a life group study where you can interact with each other, get into each other's lives and know each other and learn these truths. And then corporately, as we come together to work through books of the Bible, we're all attaining to an understanding of the faith. So that you say, well, I'm not a theologian. That's okay. I'm not. You know, again, I don't remember every detail in the Scripture. The Scripture I know best is what I'm preaching this morning. By tomorrow, I may not know that much about it because I'm a simple person as well. You don't have to be a theologian. You just need to grow in your understanding, that each one of us knows the basic, the core of what it means. Who is God? What does it look like to follow Him? So we're all attaining to this, not just some of us, and then all attaining to the knowledge of God experientially, that you are having an experience daily with the Lord, that as you look to His Word, He is leading you. Again, some days it's incredible, and some days it's just, you know, just bread and butter, meat and potatoes. You know, if you have a meal at home that's not as spectacular as some meals, you don't say, well, I don't know, this isn't worth it, this whole eating thing, because some meals just aren't amazing. Well, no, you keep eating. Well, so that's the same way we do with the Scripture. And so experiencing Him, and then to a mature man, we grow up to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That, again, looking at that growth chart with Christ. When you come to know Christ as Savior, God declares you righteous, just like He did with Abraham. The Scripture says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteous. Paul tells us that the law, he reminds us, that the law didn't come for another 430 years. So Abraham wasn't right with God because of what he did. He was right with God because of what he believed. So God, in the same way, when you place your faith in Christ, He declares you righteous. He stamps paid in full on your life. And then He sets you on a lifelong journey to become gradually more and more like Him. Some days are better than other days if you're like me, but a lifelong pursuit of becoming more and more like Jesus. So Paul says here, that's what we all must be doing. And then in verse 14, he's going to give us, 14, 15, 16, the results of that. This as a result is what my version says, but the Greek word there, it's a big so what. Here's the so what. Saying all of this leads to the so what. Here are the results of us doing that as believers. As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. We want to be believers who, again, are still learning. We don't have it all figured out. We're teachable, but we're not scared of just being thrown off by something that we hear. I wish I had a dollar for every believer over the years who heard something on the radio, who met somebody who did this, or they read an article here and there, and it changes everything. Everything they've ever known was insufficient, and now there's this new thing that they've discovered, and I would list them for you, but I might cross one that you fell to at one point. But there's three or four that are like calendar work. Somebody's going to come to me and say, I've discovered this, and we've all been wrong, our whole church, forever. And so again, it's not that there aren't truths out there that we're still learning. Here's how it works. The canon of Scripture, this is closed. This is finished. We have the Scripture. Then daily, as I'm in the Word, as you're in the Word, God's showing us new things about Himself from the finished Scripture. He's showing us new applications in our life from the finished Scripture. Now, you may discover something that all of Christendom has never discovered. I mean, you might, right? But just be careful about that, because there's not a whole lot of new stuff in the Scripture to discover. There are countless new applications. There are daily and regular things that God will show us from His Scripture. But just be careful. You don't want to be the one, again, that somebody says something and everything you've ever been taught for 30 years as a believer is now insufficient. It's okay to hold to the age-old truths of the Scripture. It's okay to hold to the doctrines that we've always taught. Again, growing deeper in them, being teachable, being inspired by one another. But everything doesn't have to be new. We like new things. We like new clothes. We like new this. We like that. It's just okay to be grounded in the truths of God's Word. Well, how does a baby quit being tossed about? Babies are fragile. We have to give special care for them. Well, they become strong as they eat and they're nurtured and they grow. So as believers, our goal needs to be that we're growing up, he says, so that we're no longer just tossed here and about. Doesn't mean we don't have questions. That's okay. I have questions. People ask me questions I don't know the answer to sometimes. And I pray and look, and God will help us. So it's okay to have questions. But in those core truths, we want to be not children, but maturing, not tossed here and there. And then he describes three different ways that this happens here. He says, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. And the trickery here has to do with kind of a gambling trickery. It was like we would look at dice as well. So three different ways to say sometimes, there are accidental heresies out there that the people might be accidentally teaching, but there's some that are on purpose, and they all have the devil behind them. There are those who are teaching false teachings. Some of them know it. Some of them don't know it. There are folks who knock on your door who mean well, but they're a part of a cult. They've been told that if they work hard enough, they just might go to heaven. Not, necessarily bad people, but there are certainly people who are deceitful, purposely scheming in their training of them. There are churches. There are, I don't know if it still is. At one point, the largest church in the world was in Houston, Texas, and it drawing 30,000 people, plus those who watch online. And it's not the truth. It has parts of the truth, but it is deceitful. On purpose? I don't know. But we can be drawn away into these things. The way to combat that for us is to be growing in what we understand about the Word of God. So he says, we don't want to fall to these things. And so then in verse 15, he goes into a phrase that I think we kind of, it's not that we misunderstand it, but I think we fall short in our understanding of the totality of what he's saying here. He says, but speaking the truth in love. So I think, oftentimes when we hear that, all we're thinking about is the one confronting other people. And that's a part of this, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but we think of that person, who wakes up and says, I have four people to confront today. I'm so excited. And so if that's you, if you get excited about confronting other people, let me just say that you might not be the best person to do that, or at least not today, if you're excited about, talking to someone about something that might not be right in their life according to Scripture. That should be a heavy moment for us, not one that we look forward to. And I'll say again, as I said last week, we need to know one another so that it's not as big of a deal for you to be able to say to me, if you're close to me, to be able to say, hey, I'm not sure, but I wonder sometimes the Lord seems to say this about this subject to me. What do you think scripturally? And for me to be able to say that to you if we're close together, you need to let people in your life like that so that total strangers aren't coming up to us, confronting us with things of the Scripture. So I think that's a part of it, but I think it's really much bigger than that. I think because this word can have a hint of confessing the truth in love. I think that it's all that we do to proclaim the truth of God and in love. Hopefully that's happening here in this pulpit week in and week out, that there is truth proclaimed. Sometimes it's hard truth. Sometimes it's truth I don't want to proclaim. I don't enjoy some of those hard passages, but I'm just the mailman. And so I need to deliver what God has sent to us. It needs to happen in our life groups. It needs to happen in our interaction with each other as we confess and speak of the truth, but in loving ways. Our life groups, for example, all the Bible studies, every Bible study that happens in our church, need to proclaim the settled truth in love, so that when we leave a Bible study, we're stronger, we're more confident of the Scripture than when we went there. I had seminary professors of both stripes. I had some who just threw it all out there and just hoped that everybody landed in a good place. Well, that's okay if you're grounded, but it's not okay for those who weren't grounded, and it was harmful. I had other professors who showed us, okay, here are what the various groups say about this particular doctrine of Scripture. And then at the end of the class, but here's what I believe the Word of God says. And so this is what we want to do. Yes, we want to have questions, we want to learn, but we want to always come back to the Scripture is trustworthy at every single place. And so we're speaking the truth to each other to help each other along, even though sometimes it's difficult. And so we must do it in love. Always remembering that those who are professing, those who are teaching, those who are speaking the truth are still in the journey as well, still learning and learning about what the Lord has to say for us. So we speak the truth. We speak the truth in love, and we share the gospel. I had a man say to me one time in a Bible study, he said, "Why don't we just leave everybody alone? That's loving them." And I said, "You know, that's actually not loving them." Now, I'm not talking about that every one of us takes every opportunity we should to share the gospel. We fail sometimes. But to have no plan to say, we just want to leave people alone, even though we know, again, by the word of God, that if they don't come to know Christ as Savior, they're headed to hell. Well, that's not love to want to leave them alone. And so there are people in our lives that sometimes we have to say difficult things to, but it ought to not be joyous for us to do so. So he says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head. Now take this 15 and 16 together with me, because together it's powerful here. We are to speak the truth in love, and interrupting myself here, even this morning in my own quiet time as I got to 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says this in verses 3 and 4, "As I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith." And so again, even in the pulpit, in the Bible study, in our interaction with each other, we don't need to spend time furthering endless speculation. We need to go back to, but this is what the Word of God says, and it requires faith sometimes for us to understand that. Again, we're teachable, we're learning, we're looking at what others believe, but our main focus is not trying to find a new way to come about everything. It's just okay to keep hammering at the age-old truths of the Word. That is fresh, that is relevant today. Well, so finished interrupting myself. Verse 15, he's talking about here, he says, there's the head, that's Christ. And so we're all growing up into every aspect into the head of Christ. You must be growing. I must be growing. I need you. I need you to grow in Christ. You need me to grow in Christ. You need each other to grow in Christ. You are important if God has put you into this local body as a believer in Christ. And so we're all growing up into the head, but going back to our chicken, we're going to put his head back on for just a minute. So the head is crucial, because that body, it'll run around for about 10 seconds. Had someone in between services tell me about being a small child and that chicken with no head on chasing him for 10 seconds. That's a scary thought for a child. So we're going to put the head back on. The head is so crucial, because everything the body does comes from the head. But the body also is functioning with that it derives from the head. Verse 16. "From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body." So simultaneously, as you and I are deriving everything that we need from the head, which is Christ, we're also working together, sideways, building each other up. So I benefit from you. When I see you growing in Christ, and I'm learning, what's God teaching me about that? Maybe God's saying, hey, they found the application of the scripture you need to have. And maybe that's going to lead me to a different application. But have an application. Our applications are going to be different. Now, you know, thou shalt not murder. There's a pretty direct application there, right? But there are other things that I just need to see you applying it. It may not be the same way I will. But we need to be pushing each other up, building up the body. Is what I'm doing building the body or tearing it down? Is what I'm saying building the body or tearing it down? We each depend on each other. And God has so masterfully created the church that the church universal can never fail. God just designed it that way. And he's put all of these things like this that we see. We're gaining from Christ, and then the parts are working together. And so here we are, important to one another. You're important to me. I'm important to you. So we talk about, really, any New Testament church should have this concept, but at Southern Baptist, it's a topic of regenerate church membership. What does that mean? It means this. The Baptist church is the easiest organization to join in all the world. You walk down, most of the time, you fill out a card, boom, you're in. That's good. But the worst thing we can do is assume that you know Christ as your Savior. and then make you a church member, and then you're inoculated. You'll never need the gospel again because, after all, you're a member at First Baptist Church Mandeville. And so it's important when folks join for us to discuss and make sure that they understand what it means to come to Christ as Savior. And then as a part of that, it's important, we'll see this more next week, but it's important that we understand what it means to be born again and to be growing up in all of these things. Perfect? No, not on your life. But purposing to grow. Look at it this way. There's a difference between someone who comes to Christ with a nagging sin that we easily fall into. All of us have them. There's a difference in saying, I struggle with just pick a random one. I struggle with stealing. I don't want to. I want to identify with Paul, what Paul said. Paul said, I don't do what I want to do. I do what I don't want to do. But you see, Paul was struggling against it because the Spirit of God lived inside of him. And so it's one thing to come and say, I know that I have sins that I could easily fall to, but I don't want to just pitch my tent and say, I have no plan to get out of them. Yeah, I may struggle and stumble along the way, but because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, because I want to grow up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, then I have a plan. My goal is to not fall to that. You may fall to that sin over and over the rest of your life, but you're never comfortable there. That's different than coming to Christ and saying, I have a sin and I don't have any plan to get out of it. That's different. And so only you and God can make that decision together. But as believers, we've got to admit that we're struggling, all of us. Nobody's there yet. But we've got to admit that if the Spirit of God comes in us and Jesus has paid for those sins, we just can't pitch our tent there and say, there's no plan. Whatever it might be. Again, I mentioned stealing. It could be lust. It could be drunkenness. And just to say, I have no plan to quit. I'm not talking about you fail. We all fall to sin of some sort. But you just have no plan. And you're just saying, this is me. The one that is being pushed on us so much right now is in the homosexual lifestyle. Folks saying, I'm a gay Christian. Well, no, that's just not proper. Even today in 1 Timothy, as I read on, Paul said, I thank God that I, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, he didn't say, I'm a blasphemer Christian. He didn't identify. We don't identify with any other sin. We don't say, I'm a drunkard Christian. You know, we don't do that. So sometimes when you're looking at, because this is, again, we're actually speaking the truth in love to say that it doesn't matter what your lifestyle is when you come to Christ, Christ can set you free. So we're not picking on anybody. We're just saying this is the one that's going to be, over the coming years, even from other sources in the church, is going to be pushed on us so hard to say that's just the way that person is. Well, that's not. That's just, again, like saying I'm just a thief and that's the way God made me. No. So we're actually speaking love to say we want God to set you free the way he's setting us free. I'm so glad that when I came to Christ that the church didn't say, hey, the sins in your lifestyle, that's who you are. I'm so glad the church said, you need to repent, and we're going to help you. And it may take your lifetime, but the goal is going to be to appropriate what Christ purchased for you on the cross. And even looking at, again, because we need to talk about these issues, the whole issue of homosexuality, there'll be folks that will say, you know, again, I'm camping out. My lifestyle says that the rest of my life I will have same-sex attraction, but I won't act on it. Well, according to Romans 1 and elsewhere, you see, the heterosexual desire is God-given. Now, within that, the only way to please the Lord in that, to have real satisfaction, is in self-control. That desire only be met within the confines of the marriage of one man and one woman, and that's the only way. But the same-sex attraction, even the attraction itself, according to Romans 1 and elsewhere, it is wrong. Again, I'm not harping and picking on. I'm trying to say it's not loving to say stay there. Just like it wasn't loving for the church to say to you, stay in your sin. So love says, yes, come to Christ and have a new identity in Christ. You may still have a struggle, but don't camp there. Don't call yourself identified as a Christian with an adjective or a qualifier. And so that's what we're talking about here, that all of us need to be saying, my purpose, though I may stumble and fall, my purpose is to look at the stature of what it means to grow up in Christ. And that's my new aim and my new goal. And I want to follow Christ in that way. And so he says, all of this, at the end of verse 16, causing the growth of the body for the building of it up of itself in love. That we're building up the body. Because you see, more important than me is Christ's church. More important than you is Christ's church, and you are necessary. About 2 years ago, maybe almost 2.5 years ago or so, I got tendonitis in the elbow, trying to keep up with one of my sons at the gym. And yes, it was, you're right, it wasn't recently at the gym. I know that it's obvious I haven't been at the gym recently. I get that. But it was before. And so, you know, hurt the elbow pretty bad and just couldn't seem to, you know, to get any relief. And so, but, you know, I'm an American man. I wasn't going to stop using my arm. And so I just kept on doing life best I could. Some things hurt, some things didn't hurt. Took me about 10 seconds to take my glasses off, you know, the chick, you know, thing up here. And so then, since I've moved here, I found a doctor of physical therapy who's getting to the bottom of it. Okay, so all that to say this. He's teaching me some interesting things along the way as we talk about Christ and different things and the body. So there's some debate over how often, but I've learned this. I didn't know this because, again, I'm simple. I'm not a scientist. But the body essentially recreates itself. The length of time is debatable, but perhaps as much as often as every 6 months, your body is recreating itself. So I'm talking to this doctor, and I'm realizing as I look in the mirror that my shoulder, from the left shoulder down to the wrist and my right shoulder down, I was no longer symmetrical. I wasn't symmetrical. Now, there were some other issues along the way, but that was because of too much good food. But no longer symmetrical. Here's what was happening. My body had begun to say, this elbow is lame, but we've got to keep going. So we're going to work around the elbow, and we're going to recreate that left arm, and it's going to be different now. It's not going to look like the arm is supposed to look. Because we've got to keep functioning. And that's what happens sometimes in the church. Because some of us say, I'm not important. Doesn't matter if I grow in Christ. Doesn't matter if I'm a part of this beautiful picture of Ephesians 4. And so, unfortunately, then the church has to reshape itself in a deformed way. So here's the deal. You are that important. Because the mission of the church is that important. So my plea to you is that if you're here today and you'd say, you know, my Christian life has really been one where I've just kind of coasted and really didn't think it would hurt anybody. It really does. We need you. We need you today to let God say to you, because the devil will overwhelm you. Whatever the steps, whatever Christ is talking to us about, the devil will come in with his scheming ways and he'll give you 17 things you need to do today. And then you'll just throw up your hands and say, it's just too much. Now that's not, usually the Lord comes in with some very specific steps. Today, start here. Start by being in the Word. Start by being in prayer. And maybe there's an issue in your life. I don't know about it, but you and God do, that you need to be able to just say today, God, I'm just saying, I want to give you permission because you died for this lifestyle sin. And I may struggle with it all my life, but I'm through saying it's just who I am. I'm through saying I don't have a plan to get out of this sin, and I want to follow you. In this way, God may say to you today, you need to know Christ as your Savior so you'll be in the body. You need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, as we saw pictured for us today. God's speaking to me, to you. Let's say yes to him today because the mission is so critical. God, thank you so much for your word to me today, for your word to us. Father, I just pray for each individual in this room and each individual worshiping online with us. I just pray that we can do business with you just about me and you. And if there are issues that we need to deal with, show it to us, Lord, and help us to have the grace to just say yes to you today and to admit, yes, God, I need to add that to my walk with you. I need to take that out of my walk with you. And God, that you would defeat the enemy and his lies, the way that he would overwhelm folks today, and there'd be folks who'd come today and say, I want to know for sure that I know Christ. I want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I want to make this my church home for this time. Or come and just to pray here or pray where they're at to just say yes to you for whatever you're saying to us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, sing first note of the first stanza. Whatever the Lord's saying to you, you say yes.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let a rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has